Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle. We are recording this on Instagram. We are recording this on Twitter Spaces. So if anyone is here, I see Drew, but so people can pop in and listen. We're going to record our podcast every once in a while like this. So today we're going to talk about the Falcons, you know, third and second round picks and maybe a little bit more. So what's going on, Kyle?
Nothing much. It's been a lot of coverage for the draft. Busy last couple of days for us. A little bit of sleep deprived type stuff. I remember late last night we were editing stuff for the draft, so we were a little lower on sleep wise, but it's been good. It's been fun to cover the draft. Obviously, Falcons have gotten some great pieces. I've seen a bunch of people complaining about the pick, so that's nothing new. That's the typical discourse of social media, where you have a lot of people complaining about the pick. You had him complaining about Matthew Bergeron, one of your guys going into the draft.
Go ahead, sorry.
Getting him in at 38 is a great pick for the Falcons. I feel it fits their left guard position. Me and you made a post where we put together what we thought the starting offensive line is going to be as of right now, and we have I'll go from left to right. We got Jake Matthews at left tackle. At left guard, you got our new addition, Matthew.
Bergeron.
Matthew.
Bergeron.
Bergeron. I'm still getting used to the name. And then at the center position, Drew Dahlman. Then at the right guard position, you go to Chris Lindstrom. And then at right tackle, we obviously re-signed Caleb McGarry.
So okay. people who were against Bijan grabbing Harrison at 75 and Bergeron at 38 totally neutralizes that, in my opinion, because you're sitting there, you take the best player available at the draft, who's going to be an absolute stud for us. Then our two biggest holes are, you know, Calais Campbell's backup when he leaves and our left guard. And Bergeron, I had a late first round grade on him. So for us to get him, trade up and get him at 38, he's a guy who can play inside or outside, played left tackle for Syracuse, and he's going to bump right into left guard for us. He played left guard actually the entire Senior Bowl and did pretty well there. He's, you know, got experience on the left side and the right side, so he's pretty versatile. He actually said in his interview that he can play every single position on the offensive line, and he'll do anything to see the Falcons win. He's controlled, he's smooth, he's got great movement skills and range. He, as far as a tackle goes, his length isn't a problem, but it's not great. And I feel like that's makes him the perfect guard, and he'll be able to bump inside and possibly bump back out when we do lose Jake or Caleb.
Just going to add that, that this addition allows them to have the next. I saw people comparing him to Caleb McGarry, seeing as he's a better run blocker and maybe not so great a pass blocker. But he's a solid guy, and if you're getting him in the late first and you're getting a quality run blocking guy, which is what the Falcons' main strength is, and you're getting a guy who needs some improvement on the pass game, which will be helped by the fact that Falcons have a good O-line around him and some solid guys at tight end to help chip block and help take on some extra pass rushers. I really love having him in that left guard spot.
And also, too, he's got the build for it. He's 6'5", 122 pounds. So one thing he talked about in his interview was he's an aggressive dude, and that's the same thing that both Terry and Arthur Smith said. He's physical, he's aggressive, and you know, they talked about his competitiveness, his toughness, his drive, his football IQ. They said he was the perfect guy that they wanted. He was the guy that they had envisioned playing left guard for them, and they went up and they got their guy. So I you know, I have nothing nothing but good things to say about this pick. It's it.
I know we could spend all day talking about Bergeron, and I don't want to take up a lot of people's time. So should we move on to our next pick and give a little more insight on Zach Harrison and then maybe go into some interesting picks we saw from day two?
Absolutely. I love Zach Harrison, 6 foot six, you know, 270 pounds, long. And super explosive, right? I think he scored over an 8 on his RAS scores from the combine. You know, the one thing I will say about him is he's a little bit tight in his hips, and he didn't do as well in college as you had kind of hoped with his all the gifts that he has. But that being said, the way we're going to play him, similar to the Calais Campbell role, inside outside, really just pushing the pocket with his length and his athletic profile. And he's shown flashes of dominance that he will be great. I think he'll sit behind Calais for a year, learn from Calais and Grady and Animata. And I think he could legitimately be a star, not just like a good player. I think he could be a superstar for our defense.
Everything I've seen from him is he's the powerful guy with great athleticism. And he's also got a similar body frame to Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell is 6'7", 300. He's 6'5", 274. So it's like that exact same frame, and you're learning from one of the best pass rushers in all of NFL as of right now. One of the best active pass rushers is there to teach you for the next year until you can make some growth and hopefully dig out a role. This first year will most likely be him as a rotational piece, not as a starter, but hopefully in the upcoming years he can become that starting opposite AK.
So he's one of those people where, you know, I just said he could be a superstar for our defense, and he legitimately could be. If he were to take all of the, you know, physical tools and all the traits that he has and figures out how to use them and is consistently using them, he will be that superstar. Worst case scenario, he'll be a good rotational guy. He's solid against the run. Like I said, he's got all the physical traits, and we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. But I'm with Calais Campbell being there, I love betting on that he will be a great, great addition. So
yeah, 100%. And you also have like a Grady Jarrett who's in there to help. And even some of the guys beside him who aren't the same position, they can. There's always some similarities across defensive positions, mm-hmm. and always ways guys can help you figure out how to train better, how to prepare for NFL games, because it's different than college. It's not the same as Ohio State. It's not the same as he's used to playing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Overall, I like what he can do, and I think this is a home run pick. I do think he has a low floor and a very high ceiling. But with that, I think we've covered him pretty well.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to a surprising pick?
I just want to say before we move on, the similar to last year's draft, Terry played this perfectly. Like, he went out, he got his guy, he got the guy he felt was the best in the first round, and then he used the draft. The draft had players – the draft had a lot of depth of positions of need for us. So his ability to go up and grab an offensive lineman, who in my opinion was a first round guy, falling to the second, awesome. And same thing, Zach Harrison, because there are so many edges, like great edges in this class, and there's still a couple left. But because there were so many great ones, he was able to fall to the third round. I really think he's a second round type player. So once again, Terry Fontenot cooking, just playing the draft perfectly, just like last year.
I agree with you 100%. The one thing I will mention, it's like last year in the first pick is an offensive skill player that people aren't excited about. They're like, why are we drafting this guy at a position we don't need? Mm-hmm. Why are we drafting this guy at a position, that's really loaded? And you look at this year's roster, people were saying that about the Drake London signing, and now that receiver room is a little thin, and now we probably have to pick at least one to two guys on day three. So it's definitely interesting to see how they plan, because it's definitely hard to plan, because I always say going into the draft, you got to be ready to expect the unexpected. There's always this guy out of nowhere that the Falcons will pick, and you might have no idea who he is. And that happens every year. There's tapes that the combine people don't have, and their tape wasn't out there, and they'll get drafted and nobody really knows about them. But this NFL team decided they're worth a shot. But obviously we're not at that point. That'll be tomorrow. But it's interesting, the guys that weren't. I remember talking in chats during the draft, and we were talking about who we wanted them to pick. And he wasn't on our radar. We were like, then once we got him, we were like, this is pretty solid. We like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's – I wanted Edebare, the Northwestern defensive tackle / defensive end. But truthfully, like, I don't know why I wasn't thinking of Harrison. But if I had been, I actually like this pick better than Ede. He just – he fits exactly what they're looking for, and his ceiling is really through the roof. So I'm totally good with that.
I think it's because more people had Adebare higher rated.
Mm-hmm.
Harris was a little less highly rated. So if you look at a big board, you would have to scroll a little bit to find his name. Mm-hmm. I think I was looking at the ESPN when he got drafted, and he was like 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely had scrolling, but he's definitely an interesting player with lots of upside. But now I want to move on to some surprising picks. So I'm going to go first with one I found surprising, and this was towards the end of the third round. And you had at number 99 overall, 49ers took the first special teams player off the board, Jake Moody, kicker out of Michigan. Type draft pick.
Yeah.
Roberto S. draft pick. I think it's way too early to draft it. Personally, I wouldn't draft one until late fourth at the very earliest.
Yeah, I don't think I would draft a – you'd have to be a stud kicker or punter for me to draft you, and I don't know if I would pick anyone before the fifth, truthfully.
The only reason I say late fourth is because that's where one of the better punters in the league went, and that's where Jake Camardo went. He was a late fourth round pick. Mm. Got great for he's worth every bit of that pick, being one of the best punters after coming to the league immediately.
Yeah.
So with that, I want to get your surprising guy.
So I would say I would have to say my biggest surprise was, I mean, I have to say Darnell Washington falling all the way to the late third, and it later came out that it was because of medicals, but watching the watching this fall, he was my number one tight end in this class. And watching, I don't know, six tight, it's a great tight end class, but watching six tight ends go was just shocking. So I guess I'll stick with that. Everything else, I'm not so surprised about. You know, you could say a couple things like Cam Smith fell for a little while. Watching Jonathan Mingo go to the Panthers at 8, it was shocking because I remember back when he was talked about as like a 6th, 7th round pick. He's been one. Mingo's been one of my guys throughout this process, and I always thought he would do well. And I just watched this like snowball of him going from a 7th rounder to an early 1st rounder, which I think is really cool because he's a great player. It's unfortunate he's on the Panthers, so hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't know. I probably think that, but probably Darnell Washington slipping all the way down was probably my biggest shocker.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite tight ends in the draft class. And if you're looking at just blocking alone, he's a top 5 tight end in this draft class for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention a guy who slipped out of day 2, and that's A.T. Perry. Daniel Flick would not be happy. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. A bunch of like surprises. There was over 15 trades. I think it was like 90th something. There was like 15 trades in this draft. I don't know what the exact number ended on, but it's over 20 trades so far.
Wow.
Quite a crazy pace. They were talking about it on the broadcast, and it's the most since 2010 for day two. So with that, you want to get to some of our late round guys we like?
Yeah, let's do it. I guess let's start with the fourth round because there's a lot of good players left. And we pick, sorry, I know we pick at 113.
I'll start off with receiver while you're looking at stuff. So I'll start off with Tyler Scott. Mm-hmm. And also I want to mention, surprisingly, he's not going to be the first census receiver off the board. Late in the third round, Trey Tucker went in the draft. So that was really surprising. He went 100th overall to the Raiders, which is quite surprising. They got a smaller return man type receiver. And he's ranked 222 on ESPN's rankings. So he definitely wasn't supposed to go this high. But that's just the weirdness of the draft, and it happens.
Yeah, and just watching, you know, watching that, like you said, it's just there's so all it takes is one team to love you, and you'll go higher than anybody else thinks because they want to make sure they get their guy.
100.
So I think for us, so we're picking a 113, so that's an 11 picks. And if you were to take just whoever's left on the big board, if you were to go to the 11th guy, that would be Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa. Every single person ahead of him is someone who I think would be a awesome pickup for us. I do like him, so don't get me wrong. But everyone and ahead of him and a couple people below, obviously, would be great pickups. So there's going to be someone there at pick 113 because we traded up. When we traded up for Bergeron, we lost our pick at 110. But, you know, A.T. Perry, which you mentioned, Edebarwe, we talked about. I think for me, I'm not a Kelee Ringo fan, but at pick 113, I'd be totally fine taking him there. But, you know, Tyler Scott, like you mentioned, it would be an awesome grab. If you wanted to continue to beef up this offensive line, Luke Whippler, the center out of Ohio State, he'll be available. Just bringing another guy to compete at the center position could be awesome. And then there's a lot of good stuff there. And as far as, you know, with the center out of Michigan also, I don't know how to say his name, Uluwatimi.
Olatomawe?
Yeah, that's not, I don't know.
I think that's how it is.
And also,
but he'd be
And also, too, like somebody who has been talked about a lot that I think would be probably my number one choice at this point with what we've already brought in. Trey Palmer is still available, the wide receiver out of Nebraska. He ran a 4.3 and looked great. I think he could be an awesome number two receiver in this offense. So
I think a wide receiver in the fourth round. That's what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where you're at with that. I'm feeling like the right move, go wide receiver if you're the Falcons, so you can get a wide receiver. Because right now you only have four quality wide receivers, mm-hmm. and that is London. And three of those guys are to one-year deals. So you need a guy who can stay there and hopefully be a two or three wide receiver in the future. So if you can get like a Trey Palmer, a Tyler Scott, a A.T. Perry, mm-hmm. any of the good receivers left on the board, I think that's what you do with this pick.
And that's exactly what we've talked about, right? We've talked about how many great wide receivers there are in this class, like, you know, day two wide receivers, that they were going to get pushed down. And that's exactly what's happened. And there should be somebody there at pick 113 for us. And also, too, though, I would also be okay with a corner. Kelee Ringo, which I said, at pick one, you know, pick the first or second round was too rich for me. If they took him at, and I said, that's right, 113, like that's totally fine. Clark Phillips is available. Kai Blue Kelly, Darius Rush, just to name a bunch of guys that would just be, you know, great pickups there. Or I could also see us trying to attempt to boost our linebacker room. We could definitely use some depth there and some special teams guys. So
I know we're talking about guys who could go there. I think there's so much depth still left that if the Falcons really wanted like more picks in this draft and didn't think they had enough time to get the guys they wanted or enough picks to get all the guys they want, they could trade back down maybe 10 picks in the fourth round and maybe go get a sixth. So they have 7 picks in the draft, which they were supposed to have before trading up for Matthew Bergeron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be totally fine. I would be totally fine in my mind. Trading back would be great, or even trading up with the two, using the 2 sevenths to go up and maybe grab somebody in the sixth who's like your guy. So I do expect us to move around a little bit. So I'd keep my eyes peeled through this draft.
Yeah, I'm not for trading up at this point because I don't think there's much difference between most of the guys that are there. I think the like next tier players is like barely like a fraction different than the other guys.
I think you gotta we gotta wait and see like if somebody falls, right? Like we're sitting at Keely Ringo. I'm looking at Sports Nation. He's the 38th ranked guy. So, and
he's the 50th on ESPN.
What is he?
50th on ESPN.
So 50th, and we're sitting here at pick, well, what, 102? So, like, if you see somebody like that, like, there's definitely someone on their board, and maybe it's probably not going to be Keely Ringo, but let's just say a guy, you know, because there's so many wide receivers, a guy like Tyler Scott falls into round 5 or 6. Like, there's a big difference between Tyler Scott and, you know, somebody in the possibly in the 7th round or an A.T. Perry, you know, because I agree with you. I don't want to trade up for someone who's on the same tier, but if there's a next tier guy, there's a, you know, 4th or 5th round type player that falls to 6 or 7 or something along those lines, I'm totally fine giving up 2 sevens, because the reality is, like you said, the difference between pick, you know, 225 and 224 and an undrafted free agent isn't much.
Mm-hmm. Like most of the time in the 7th round, you're just looking for probably going to be undrafted free agent that you're like, this is a guy we like and we don't want to miss out on mm-hmm. him. So take him here so he gets into camp and we can evaluate him more and see if he can make this roster or maybe be a practice squad piece in case we need him for later.
Yeah,
and hopefully try to hire from other teams.
And you know, if we do end up using our sevens, just some guys that we've talked about in the past, you know, like I would love Xavier Smith out of FAMU, the wide receiver. I think he would be a great slot receiver for us to add somewhere in there.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that one. I've been a big proponent of Matt Landers, mm-hmm. a guy who's got all the athletic traits. But doesn't have the hands is what I like to say. And then you got Amir Speed, who's shown flashes at Michigan State and Georgia, but he hasn't shown it consistently,
mm-hmm.
but definitely has the athletic traits.
So one last guy I want to talk about, if he's available in the 7th, that or someone who I'd be totally fine trading up for, is BJ Thompson. He's the edge out of Stephen F. Austin. He is an absolute freak of an athlete, and he's somebody, so his downside is he really hasn't had a ton of production, but he's also old. I think he's actually the same age as I can't think of his name, Young, the defensive, you're cutting in and out.
Is he like the Stetson Bennett of edge rushers?
Yeah, he definitely is. He's actually older than Chase Young, or the same age as Chase Young, who's been in the league now for, this is going to be his 4th year.
I believe Chase Young is 24, so he's pushing 25.
Yeah, and lower competition, lower competition, older player, lack of production. But that being said, so he's 6'5" with a 34 5/8 wingspan, arm length, so an 82 1/2 wingspan. He ran a 4.6 with a 37 1/2 inch vertical. Just absolute freak of an athlete who hasn't done a ton. He's kind of thin. He's got more of like a basketball body, but he's so fluid. And you watch him in these drills, he could possibly even move to linebacker. Sometimes you look out there and he almost looks like a safety. So just a guy who could be a fun addition. I don't know how much he would actually be. Maybe he ends up just being, you know, a special teams type player. So just somebody I want to throw out there that we haven't talked about that I think could be a fun guy if we ended up grabbing him.
That sounds like an interesting guy who could possibly be like a training camp body who tries to develop and maybe has to switch positions to try to make a roster as a rotation piece at some point. Mm.
But, you know, it's like what our guys talk about. They talk about versatility a lot, and they talk about mental makeup. And I don't know how he is mentally, but I'll tell you right now, he's definitely versatile.
100%. Versatility, availability are the best traits in the NFL, which is why Bijan's a good pick, why Caden Ellis was a good signing, and a bunch of the other players Falcons have signed, like the Mike Hugheses, the Jesse Bates, Calais Campbell. I could go on and on.
One thing, too, that I believe – so Michael Rothstein tweeted out, and I can't remember if our guys said this, our guys being Terry and Arthur. But the Zach Harrison and Bergeron, they'll give you everything you get, everything that they got. And the best part, like one of the biggest attractors for the coaches and the scouts, was that these guys want to finish you. Like you see on the plays, like they don't want to just win. They want to bury you on the field. So just awesome, awesome players. I'm really excited to see what day three has for us.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons_drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.